thank you. So I'm Lauren, and I'm going to be going over the first part of the presentation and going through an introduction on the study, and then go through the materials and methods, and then hand it off to Kathy. So as we heard this morning, there's been an increase in health problems with consumers, and it's been increasing in the past few years. And so we also learned that modifications in animal diets can alter the nutrient profile of beef. And so identification of the genetic variants would allow for producers to select the more desirable nutrient profiles of beef. And so when we talk about these nutrient profiles, we're referring to fatty acid composition, the minerals, and the protein. So these are novel traits and present opportunities in this market. And so ultimately, we're looking for an increase in value and consumer satisfaction. So selection aided by the genomic predictor may serve as an applicable tool to improve these nutrient profiles, given that phenotypic data can be expensive and difficult to do. So the objectives of this study was to determine the proportion of phenotypic variation explained by the Illumina bovine TIC50JB chip for cholesterol, polyunsaturated fatty acids, monounsaturated fatty acids, protein, potassium, iron, and sodium. So the next part was to identify the chromosomal regions that harbor major genetic variants underlying variation of these traits. So in this study, there were 239 crossbred steers and heifers, a varying proportion of Angus, Simmental, and Piedmontese. These animals were genotyped for 0, 1, or 2 copies of the myostatin mutation that we refer to as C313Y. They were genotyped because this is an on-the-50K marker chip. So these animals were split into 4 groups and fed over a 2-year period from 2010 to 2012. So 2 groups were fed each year, yielding heifers and a captive steer group in each year. These animals had adequate access to water and were fed a diet that met or exceeded NRC requirements. The steaks that were cut from the eye of round, which we refer to as SP, and the longest and store size, LPL, according to the table, these are half-inch steaks that were trimmed to an eighth of an inch of subcutaneous fat. The lip analysis and mineral analysis were performed at Midwest Laboratories in Omaha. And so the fatty acids were analyzed as a proportion of the total fat and also as a milligram per 100 grams of the wet tissue. The potassium, iron, and sodium were analyzed as parts per million of whole tissue. And the interpretation of the two scales for the lipid trait leads to dramatically different results. So the low polyunsaturated fatty acids and a gravimetric measurement of milligrams per 100 grams of the whole tissue would have a low total lipid content and would have a relatively high proportion of PUFA as a proportion of the total fat. And so here is the, how the fatty acids were classified and analyzed under polyunsaturated fatty acids and monounsaturated fatty acids. And so the outliers were removed from the data if they were greater than 3 standard deviations away from mean. And GenCell software was used to fit a base algorithm with group fitted as fixed, and the group was the combination of urine sex. The pi value was set at 0.95. We did 150,000 iterations with the first 50,000 to the target. So the base C, which is a Bayesian mixture model, is fitted with a set prior of number SNP having an effect at each iteration, and then the other SNP having a null effect at that iteration, which would be that 0.95. So an a priori heritability estimate was used. And so these genomic estimated breeding values are estimated by summing the posterior mean marker effect by marker genotype across all SNPs. The SNP were blocked into 1 megabase windows, and so these top windows, the top 0.5% windows, which is 13 windows, were compared across the cut. And then they were extended in 1 megabase in each direction, and the candidate genotype was conducted. While we would have liked to have fit breed in the model or population, we didn't have pedigree information on these animals or reference genotypes for the Piedmontese breed. So this is just a table of the summary statistics that we have for the lipid trait. You can see that we have the different cuts and the different measurements. So S2 is the eye around, and then the LPL, so I'll get the store size. And then you can see the number of observations for each trait in and measurements. There are some differences in the number of observations based on the measurements. And so that's on the basis of not exactly the traits we're looking at, but that was a portion of the class. And so then we can see the mean and the standard deviation. There are some differences that we see between the same trait with different cuts. You can see that there are some differences there with monounsaturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids. And we also assume that there is variation between animals, so depending on the state that you rate from which animal it came from, we each got different levels of fatty acids or minerals. So this is the summary of the mineral and the protein traits. And we'll leave off just by mentioning that the mean, the standard deviation for sodium relative to the mean is fairly small, and so I think actually we'll have some explanation for that.
Okay, as we move into the results here, we first looked at the heritability for these traits. And heritability was calculated on this based off the posterior mean of the proportion of variation explained by the markers. And kind of like the previous two tables Lauren presented, we have each trait with the different cuts, the different fatty acids, the cholesterol, we have the different measurement scales. As a general, on the fatty acids and cholesterol, we estimated moderate to high heritability. And for the majority of the traits, we got the same estimate for the different scales. But there are a couple examples on polyunsaturated fatty acids in the eye, and monounsaturated fatty acids in the longest and the dorsi. We do see different estimates of heritability based off the scale. And this has to do with the variation among animals, because within these two traits, we see a range of different coefficients of variation, which differ between 0.3 to 0.6, depending on the type of each trait. When we look at the heritability for the mineral traits, we found that protein and potassium had high estimates of heritability, iron had moderate estimates of heritability, and sodium had low heritability estimates. And as Lauren showed you, there was a small standard deviation in reference to the mean for sodium. And this contributes to these low estimates of heritability. And this is expected because the body highly regulates sodium, so we wouldn't necessarily expect there to be a great variation among sodium measurements. We also looked at the genetic estimated breeding value correlations, which some of you might know these as molecular breeding values. They are the same. The DV correlations follow phenotypic correlations. We found low to moderate correlations of varying directions between protein and minerals. And some examples are, when we look at iron and protein, we found a negative 0.32. We also found some difference in correlations. If you look at the same two traits compared, but differences between the cuts, if you look at sodium and protein in the eye round, it has a negative 0.09. If you look at where one trait is in the eye round and one is going in the dorsi, you find a correlation of 0.15. And if you look at it when they're both going in the dorsi, you find a correlation of 0.25. We also found low to moderate correlations among lipids with protein or minerals. And here's an example. If you look in the, if both traits in the eye round, two of those proteins are 0.59. Where mucosal proteins have negative 0.53 and cholesterol proteins have a positive 0.35. We've got moderate to strong correlations among the fatty acids, but there's difference in the direction of these correlations depending on the scale that you look at. If we look at our percent fat basis, we found that monounsaturated fatty acids are negatively correlated with polyunsaturated fatty acids and cholesterol, and polyunsaturated fatty acids are positively correlated with cholesterol. So this would mean that if we increase the proportion of monounsaturated fatty acids in a steak, we're going to decrease the proportion of polyunsaturated fatty acids in cholesterol. But if we look at these traits on a milligram or 100 gram basis, we find that monounsaturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids are positively correlated, but these two fatty acids are negatively correlated with cholesterol. So if we look on this scale, if we increase one if we increase monounsaturated fatty acids, we're going to also increase the amount of polyunsaturated fatty acids and decrease the amount of cholesterol. So based off of this, differences between these major nutrient scales, when we're looking at fatty acids, the interpretation of the way we change things based off these correlations are going to depend on the scale, so it's important that you measure your cholesterol, look at cholesterol and fatty acids on the same scale and not some in one scale or the other. And based off this, you're going to probably select different animals based off what scale you look at it. An example of this is when the gametric amount of PUCA is low and the amount of PUCA relative to total fatty acids can be high and the amount of total fatty acids being low. There's been a conception that excretation, as we increase adipose tissue in animals, we increase the amount of cholesterol, we decrease the amount of PUCA, and increase the amount of nutrients. But it's been challenged when we have patients with double muscle genotypes, like we do here in the Piedmontese, that this does not stand. Reyes and others in 2001 found that the Belgian blue breeds had a low proportion of nutrients and a high proportion of PUCA muscle with it compared to normal genotype animals. And the reason for this is where these fatty acids are found. Mucus and cholesterol are predominantly found in the adipose tissue, where polyunsaturated fatty acids are mainly found in muscle fibers. So as we increase the adipose tissue, we increase the amount of monounsaturated cholesterol a lot more than we do polyunsaturated fatty acids. So if we get fatter animals, we get a higher proportion. But in these animals that have a double muscle genotype, they're known to be leaner, so this is why we see this increase in proportion of PUCA if you don't have very much adipose tissue. And then, so here's a Manhattan plot. This one is of the eye, polyunsaturated fatty acids. All the fatty acids and cholesterol, depending on cut, look very similar to this. The genetic variance is on the y-axis. The x-axis contains the chromosome. Each color represents a different chromosome. Each dot represents a different SNP. So in these Manhattan plots, we're looking for these peaks here. These would be regions that explain significant variance. So from this plot and the other plots of fatty acids, we took this region here where there's a peak, and we looked at it to see if there's any genes that contribute to cholesterol fatty acids that may explain the variation. And from this, we did find two potential genes that could explain the variations we see. The first one is GULP1, which is a common gene found among lipid traits. It's an engulfment adapter TTPB domain containing one. It's an adaptive protein that binds and directs trafficking of LPR1, which is involved in lipid homeostasis. The other gene we found is ICGAS. It's associated with metabolic process and negative regulations of lipid transport and storage. Some other work that's been done in this field, as we heard this morning, PCU and others have reported similar heritability that we found for iron and sodium. But if you remember from her work this morning, they've reported a low heritability for potassium, where we found a high heritability for potassium. And we believe one of the reasons we find such a higher heritability for potassium is we had several SNPs that were in high linkage disequilibrium with the monostatin gene in the population, and she did not have that in her population. So that could explain some of the differences in estimating heritability. There have been a few studies done on fatty acids and cholesterol. And so Caesar and others in 2014 and Pitchford and others in 2002 have reported low to moderate heritability, where Cameron and others in 1990 have reported moderate to high heritability. So in conclusion, we are looking at novel traits that over the past few years have come into consideration, especially from consumers, of really understanding the nutritional benefit of beef and where it plays a role in human diet, and we have found that it seems that these traits are under genetic control and have genetic relationships among each other, so we can select for these traits and improve them. There is two different scales in fatty acids and cholesterol, and the more straightforward and probably the more meaningful scale is the gravimetric scale, which truly tells you how much of each fatty acid and cholesterol you're receiving per serving on a proportion basis. And because of these two different scales, there is re-ranking of animals based off selection, so you're going to make different improvements depending on what scale you use and select different animals based on that. And further analysis needs to be done in these traits to improve estimates of heritability and to really get an understanding of the genetic control that needs to influence these, and if there's different influences among the populations throughout. Gordon and I would like to thank our fellow co-authors on this project, Jeremy Hahn, who's a fellow graduate student at UNL, Dr. Chris Calkins and Matt Spangler, and then our fellow grad students that helped with all the data collection and the project funding, which was from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, Raymond, and New York. And with that, is there any